Dobrý den, vážení diváci Britských listů. Dnes máme jako hosta profesora Miloslavjeviče z Fakulty sociálních věd v Lublani. A budeme s ním hovořit o situaci v médiích ve Slovinsku, v Srbsku a také jakým způsobem nebo jakou roli v ní hrají české firmy a čeští politici. Profesor Miloslavjevič, welcome.
Hello.
If I may, a first question. Recently in the Czech Republic, we saw a visit of Aleksandr Vučić, and just before that visit, a couple of weeks before that, President Vučić was awarded country's highest recognition from President Zeman. Do you think, given the situation of media in Serbia, if I recall correctly, according to Reporters Without Borders, it's actually the situation of media is one of the direst in European countries. Do you think President Vučić and his related media can play up this recognition in the Czech Republic in his favor politically?
Absolutely, they will, and I'm pretty certain that they already did. It is actually rather strange or very interesting that the Czech top officials decided to give this award to Serbian President Vučić. Because I know that, of course, there were also other topics discussed, and including, of course, an apology for the bombing of NATO. But giving an award to a president who is involved in so many issues in his own countries, including the latest scandals about relationship with criminals, that are an affair that is similar to the current affair going on in Turkey with President Erdogan, that of course gives this award a slightly strange sound. It is also rather strange in relation to what you mentioned, to the media freedom in Serbia, which is particularly harsh. The discussions about the relationship with the crime world, with the criminals, are something that needs to be investigated, although there have been a number of reports about the connection between the ruling representatives and the criminal world. But when it comes to the media freedom, it is very clear that the media in Serbia is being almost completely controlled by either representatives of the government and the ruling politics, or, of course, with the help of their media owners, tycoons, or, for example, state-owned telecom. They're all working in favor of the ruling party and obstructing the free work of journalists in many areas of Serbia, not just in Belgrade, obstructing also the distribution of critical content. For example, it's well known that state-owned telecom made a deal with Telenor, which is owned by Czech company PPF, about sort of preventing the distribution of some critical TV networks and channels in their cable distribution. So we see all sort of issues. And these are the aspects that raise serious concern about the repercussions, sort of such an award to a person that is far from being a champion of democracy.
Mentioning PPF, first of all, PPF representatives, they claim both in English and in Czech that this has nothing to do with politics, the cooperation between Telenor and Telecom, and that it is strictly a business-driven deal. Do you find that this explanation of a strictly business-oriented deal, which has such a significant impact on the media situation, is sufficient, or do you think that this should be, or rather, when it's not addressed with the political repercussions. Do you find that strange, or do you find that standard?
It should not be standard. It is possible that it does not have, in a way, sort of direct political intentions on behalf of PPF. it is possible that all they are trying to achieve is, of course, achieve their economic aims and increase their revenue, market share, etc. But the fact is that they have entered a deal with state-owned Telekom Serbia, which is, of course, directly controlled by the government, which immediately has political implications. But this deal has been defined in an official document by Serbian Telekom as a deal that will lead to destruction of another competitor, of a competitor that is well known to be closer, let's say, to the opposition, but also a competitor in terms of telecommunications that also has its own news channels called N1. So the fact that the state-owned telecom intends to block critical voices, critical channels, and destroy the competition, also with political implications, and that the state-owned telecom is doing this in partnership with Telenor, which means with PPF, of course, has a dire repercussions also for the media freedom in Serbia. So it's not just economy. As I say, perhaps it is seen by PPF as something purely economical. It is very possible. But this deal is very controversial also in the aspect of European competition policy. Although Serbia is not yet part of European Union, it is following closely very strict demands by European Union and European Commission regarding the protection of competition. And such a behavior where two main market stakeholders unite together with clear, explicitly expressed intention of destroying the third competition, the third stakeholder, is of course against the rules of European Commission regarding protection of competition. So it does have both political repercussions and it has some market and European implications, and in this sense, this is something which should be more clearly addressed also by all sort of authorities.
Speaking of companies and state companies and private companies making significant deals that have such a big impact on the media situation, many commentators have in the past pointed out this deliberate effort to create an interconnection of a media and business ecosystem. They've deliberately, in many instances, pointed out to Hungary, but also to Slovenia, especially when it comes to media related to the largest coalition member, SDS, of the Prime Minister, Janša. How would you see that a country which has in the past been seen as the champion of the in the region, or in any case from the countries of former Yugoslavia, when it comes to media freedom, has or is immersed in controversies such as these? Does that have impact on the situation in other former Yugoslav countries which are not yet members of the European Union?
It might have, of course, implications for other countries. It certainly does provide an inappropriate bad example of politics being directly involved in ownership and functioning of the media. Now, we have seen in European Union mostly a deliberate distancing of politics from media in the sense of owning media. Now, there might be owners who might be closer ideologically to certain political party or to certain ideology. But in the last 40 years, we have seen the so-called decoupling of politics and media ownership in most of Western European countries. Of course, the state and the politics have never really completely removed itself from the media in one way or another. We're talking about particularly in smaller and economically weaker countries, such as most of the countries actually in Central and Eastern Europe. We're talking of the term of the captured media, which means that the media is in itself very closely related to the state in terms of state ownership, state-controlled telecoms are such examples, but also the political control over public broadcasters, over press agencies, and so on. Then there is also always the issue of whether the regulatory bodies are really independent. For example, giving the frequencies to broadcasters and many other aspects where politics can intrude and does interfere with functioning of the media. And there, of course, there are always these links with different owners, stakeholders, as well as, of course, state-funded advertising, advertising by state-owned companies and similar. Now, all this has been going on in many and or most of the Central European countries now for years. What has happened in the last, let's say, 5 to 10 years, for example, in Slovenia, but also in some other countries, is the fact that digitalization has decreased the costs of establishing a media outlet. Now, as Clay Shirky said, everybody is a media these days. Here comes everybody. And you don't need much funding to establish a website. Not just in terms of social media, but also in the terms of regular websites. And this has happened also in Slovenia. We now have a documented network of more than 20 websites that are in one way or another related to the key ruling party SDS here in Slovenia. And all this is actually a result of very low establishing costs. In the past, if you established a newspaper, you needed to have lots of money. If you established a TV station, you need to have a lot of money. For today, to establish a website, it doesn't take much. Now, these are websites that don't necessarily have a large individual effect, but they try to create a sort of cumulative effect, mm-hmm. sort of impression mm-hmm. that there is all these criticism going on, that this is something that is very predominant in many media. In spite of the fact that it's actually coming just from one sort of newsroom, it's not even a newsroom because it very often doesn't have any journalists. It is very often equipped by people who are working in terms of public relations of political party. And they keep repeating the same message and literally the same content throughout, let's say, these 20 websites and in some cases even TV stations such as one, such as the TV station called Nova 24 here in Slovenia, as well as a few magazines, etc. So they are producing cheap content, but it's being reproduced again and again, trying to create the impression that this is some sort of overwhelming media topic, overwhelming criticism of, let's say, some opposition leader or someone else, trying to create the impression, of course, that the government is very popular. And as I say, this is related to relatively small financial costs. Mm-hmm. It does not have immediate direct economic benefits for the owners, but it tries to reach that through combination of effects. So getting the message across, getting the message to the followers of the party, but particularly to them, to the faithful, loyal party members, mm-hmm. but also trying to get the attention and trying to set the agenda for many other media. And that is something that is very often happening. Something is being created on these websites, mm-hmm. being then reproduced 10 times, 20 times, and so on, and then coming to other websites, particularly, for example, media related to state-owned telecom or to Hungarian investors, etc. And then slowly you reach the spillover effect when it reaches also all the other mass media. And of course, as I say, the intention is to create the agenda to set the agenda.
This actually very much reminds me of what we're seeing in the Czech Republic as well, where there are relatively small outlets are able to push on the agenda, criticizing the public television in the Czech Republic. And actually, through a couple of members of the television's council, which is the supervising body of the television, they're even able to push this onto the agenda of the council. But because we only have a limited amount of time, probably for the very last question, I will go back to Slovenia. And one last question. Slovenia in the second half of this year will be presiding over the EU. How do you see that the past year of as related media attacks here in Slovenia will impact this presidency?
What has become clear in the last year here in Slovenia is the fact that this government does not like European Union. It is obstructing all the principles of European Union, including the principle of the rule of law. It is claiming that this is not as something that would be possible in this area, that this is something that belongs to Western Europe, and that we will not be sort of dictated by Brussels or some well-paid officials over there. And it is intentionally spread with a lot of animosity, with a lot of critical terms, attacks, etc., on Brussels, on different European commissioners, on representatives of European Parliament. And so it is very sort of, it will be very interesting and problematic to see how Slovenia will behave as someone who is, in fact, officially in charge of the European Union right now. Because this government clearly does not like European Union as such. It intends to be linked to Visegrad Group. It wants to become some sort of new partnership with Hungary and Poland and Serbia and so on. There was, you know, somebody might call it the Warsaw Pact, but we all know that this already existed, so perhaps it will be Budapest Pact. But it is very clearly something that is not close to the ideas of European Union, which are the ideas of tolerance, democracy, the human rights, the opposition to hate speech, the opposition to hatred, the opposition to authoritarianism. In all of these things, it will be very interesting how the government, if it of course persists, we have a very unstable government at the moment. But if it does persist, we will need to see how it will behave toward those, not just ideals, but pillars of European Union.
Thank you very much, Professor Miloslavič.
Thank you for inviting me.
Our time is up. Děkuji za pozornost, vážení diváci. Těším se na shledanou.